Well, thank you, Scott, for letting me know that there's billions of people watching today. Well, good afternoon to all of you and all of you out there in cyberspace. The 2004 U.S. elections ended 11 days ago, and those who have been declared winners have pledged to work in those areas that have divided America so that we can become a stronger America and become united people. The work that they do is a political work. Yet we are here today in the church, we have a different work. Our work is a spiritual work. It is important that we understand the nature of the work that lies ahead of us. We truly need to understand what that work is and our part in it. So exactly what is the work? Well, in front of me here is the seal of the United Church of God, with the words preaching the gospel and preparing a people. Now these simple words tells us what the two main areas of work that are in the church. Now last week Mr. Luker pointed to this same seal, and to be honest, I got a little uneasy because he was talking about the work, and I thought, there goes my sermonette. I'm going to have to do another one. But actually, what I want to talk about today actually dovetails into what Mr. Luker said about last week, about the aspects of preparing the people. Now, for all of you who like titles, I have titled this sermonette, The Work of Building the Spiritual Temple of God. So who do you work for? Well, I like to illustrate that in a story that I heard at the feast in Maui this year. The story takes place during President Lyndon Johnson's administration. A man by the name of Ken Galbraith worked for the president, and one day he came home from work, very exhausted and stressed out from his job. Now, Ken told his maid that he was going to go to bed and get some much-needed sleep and not to be woken up for anything. So he went to sleep. The phone rang. The maid picked up the phone, and the voice on the other end said, "This is Lyndon Johnson. I need to speak to Ken Galbraith." The maid said, "Well, Ken is sleeping right now." And President Johnson said, "Well, wake him up." And the maid says, "Well, I can't do that, Mr. President. I don't work for you. I work for Ken Galbraith." So after Ken woke up from his nap, his maid told Ken what he had done. And so with great apprehension, he went to the phone and called the president. And when the phone rang, he said, "Hello, Mr. President, this is Ken Galbraith." And before he could say any more, the president said, "Ken, you have a very loyal and faithful servant there. I want her to work for me." He's left off the hook, wasn't he? Well, that is what God wants from us, to be a faithful, loyal servant, committed to His way of life. God is not interested in controlling us. God is interested in changing our human nature. Now, we have a nice parking lot out there, nice hall here. But let me ask you a question. After you left your vehicle, how many of you locked your car? I think we all did. Now, isn't that a terrible state of what human nature is, what we have to do? The fact is that we cannot change our human nature on our own. Only by yielding to the Spirit of God can we make the changes in our lives to move in a godly plane of existence. Let's open your Bibles to 1 Kings. And there we're going to read an account of the building of the physical temple of God. And from here we can gain some insight into the spiritual temple that God is being built in us. And here we read about the construction of the temple by King Solomon. So in 1 Kings 6 and verse 7, we'll read this. in the temple when it was being built with stone, finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. Now, the bottom line of the construction process for the temple was that it was all prefabricated off-site. Now, this was a major undertaking by King Solomon. He had 80,000 workers at the stone quarry preparing the stones to the exact specifications. An additional 70,000 workers worked as laborers bringing those stones to the temple. And King Solomon had an additional 30,000 men sent to Lebanon to prepare the timbers used in the temple. Now, you can read this account in 1 Kings 5. Now, each stone was carefully measured and remeasured. If there was a rough edge on the stone, it was carefully chiseled away and polished where it needed to be. Now, each stone had its purpose and place in the temple. The spiritual temple of God is now being built, not made of stone, but from a quarry of human lives. Now, God has carefully chosen His material for the spiritual temple. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1, and we can see what that material God has chosen for His spiritual temple. Now, reading in 1 Corinthians 1, we'll begin in verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base, you can interpret it as insignificant or lowly things, which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Now, the world headquarters for Microsoft is just down the road from this hall. Now, we do have some members here that work for Microsoft, but let me ask you a question. Do you see any CEOs from Microsoft with billions of dollars in their cash coming through the door in this congregation? No, you don't. Do you see any brain surgeons? Do you see any rocket scientists? Do you see any platinum record singers here? No, you don't. So out of the simple materials, that is you, the common individual, God is building His spiritual temple. Now, just as those stone masons chiseled the rough edges off the stones for the physical temple, God is chiseling off the rough edges on you so you can have an opportunity to become part of the spiritual temple. Now, God does this through the process of trials in our life. Trials in our life produce the needed growth in our lives so we can yield to God to become the spiritual temple. Now, as the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 2, and we'll begin in verse 4, coming to him, he's talking about Christ now, as to a living stone rejected by man, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built on a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Spiritual character is being built in us through the circumstances in our daily lives. I like to illustrate this with a personal example. You see, I work for the U.S. Postal Service. I'm a letter carrier, a mailman. The first time I came to church, it took me a while to understand what the Sabbath was. And then nearly a year later, I understood what it meant. And I was convinced to keep the Sabbath. I was able to transfer from a residential route to a parcel post route that gave me Saturdays off. 3 months later, I had a rollaway accident. In case you don't know what a rollaway is that when you're outside the vehicle, the vehicle rolls away from you. Not funny. Okay. It is now, but not then. Well, to make a long story short, that postal truck rolled down that street 697 feet and hit a parked vehicle before coming to stop. The damage was that two private vehicles were totaled out, but there was no damage to the postal truck. For discipline, the post office gave me 3 weeks off without pay, took my postal driver's license away from me, and I was temporarily assigned to a vacant foot route. Now, I had Saturdays off until the post office was going to decide with me what they're going to do with me. Well, 2 weeks after my vacation, I came back and I was invited into the office. And there I saw five managers, I'm talking about three levels of the Postal Service management. The senior manager nodded his head, and my supervisor stood up and said, "Brett, we as the post office have made a decision in your case. We have decided that we're going to put you in a permanent position on a foot route for a year, and that you will have to work Saturdays. We want to know, are you going to work Saturdays or are you going to quit?" Well, to say that the silence in that room was deafening is an understatement. But I did say, "No, I will not quit. You're going to have to fire me because I will not work Saturdays." The senior manager said, "Well, thank you, Mr. Wells, for coming. We will be in touch with you later. You can go now." 4 days later, the letter carrier's union steward came up to me and handed me a piece of paper. And I said, "Well, what's this?" And he said, "I don't understand it. I've never seen anything like it before. It says that the postal office is giving you your driver's license back." He said he didn't understand that because there were three prior rollaways in Seattle before I had mine, and none of them got their driver's license back. Well, this gave me an opportunity to go back in Parcel Post. You see, there are only 24 routes in Parcel Post that had Saturdays off. The other 1,200 carriers in Seattle work Saturdays. He said to me as he was leaving, he says, "You are one lucky guy." Well, I had to correct him. I said, "Well, luck had nothing to do with it. I was blessed." I tell this story because, you know, I don't always make the right decisions. The main thing I learned about that experience was that when you obey God, you're obedient to God, God does show favor upon you. Now, some of you here, maybe a year ago or 6 months ago, maybe an hour before you got to service today, did not make the right choice, the right spiritual choice. And maybe you're wondering if you're still fit to become part of the spiritual church, the spiritual temple of God. Well, the scriptures are clear. Unless you repent of your sins, the wages of sin is death. On TV, I saw a commercial last week, and I saw the same ad actually on the bus in downtown Seattle. It said, "Quit smoking on the average takes 8 times to quit." I am reminded in the scriptures that, you know, God says nearly the same thing. He says in Proverbs 24:16, "For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity." Here we are talking about a spiritual fall. Building the spiritual of God in us requires us to have perseverance and that we overcome. I want you to be encouraged by what it says in 2 Corinthians 7. It says that godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, not to be regretted. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." When we receive the Spirit of God through baptism, don't think you have it made. The spiritual man has to be renewed day by day. We all must be in contact with God every day. We do this through Bible study, prayer, and fasting. And through our daily prayer, God renews His Spirit in us. Only the Spirit of God in us can we then understand the depth of God's love for us. That is the part we need to work on to become the spiritual temple of God. We are a work in progress. God is in the quarry of human lives, taking living stones and taking the rough edges off them in us to yield to His will. Like the stones in the physical quarry, we too, as living stones, are being fabricated away from the final assembly of God's spiritual temple. The world has not yet seen that product, or either we, but they will at the return of Jesus Christ. At that time, the spiritual temple and its living stones will be brought together and fit together for the first time. And at that time, we will see Jesus Christ as He really is, because we will be just like Him. Ken Galbraith may have the courage to stand up to the President of the United States and said who she worked for. Do you have the courage to tell the world that you are servants of God? We either are servants of the world or servants of God. It's time now to renew our commitment as individuals and as a church in preparing a people to build the spiritual temple of God.